Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is KIX Explorer, Collecting Troubleshooting Diagnostic Data. Today's presenter is Bill Bolfin. Bill provides Level 2 worldwide remote technical support for the KIX Tools portfolio of products. Bill has provided Level 2 support for KIX Tools portfolio since their introduction into the marketplace. He has performed post-installation activities for KIX Plex System Manager at more than 60 customer locations in North America. Bill also performs periodic serviceability reviews for new releases of the individual KIX tools and the KIX Transaction Server for COS. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Bill.
Thank you, Joseph. Welcome to this WebSphere Technical Exchange on KIX Explorer, Collecting Troubleshooting Diagnostic Data. Let me just preface. At this point, I think last month, two of my colleagues gave a WISTI on getting an overview of the KIX Explorer. I think a week after that, there was an open mic from the development staff and testers in Hursley where you could ask questions. So now at this point, and hopefully we're just following a little drumbeat here, that our audience today, you're using the Explorer, and you may or may not have run into a problem. If you have, that's what we'll talk about today, is how to collect information about the problem to help us be as efficient as possible in finding a solution. So with that, let's go to the next slide. So for our agenda, we'll just look at some of the information that we need to know for any Explorer problem that you want to report to IBM. Then we'll look at some of the diagnostic information you should collect so that we can be as efficient as possible to solve the problem quickly. We'll summarize what we've discussed, and we'll look at, if we've got some time, some of the diagnostic aids that are out there to do some more end-to-end gathering information, and then we'll end with a question and answer session. Let's go to slide 3, please, Joseph. So what do we need to know for any Explorer problem? Let's go look at slide 4. The first thing, just so we can save one email exchange, is tell us the, if you have to report a problem, tell us the impact to your business operations, if any at all. So if it's affecting a deployment schedule for the Explorer to a group or to operations, if it's affecting all the users of the Explorer or just one or two users, because it might be related to their workstation. But that'll help us if you tell us the business impact when you open a problem record or a question. Go to slide 5, please. The next thing we need to know, and this is important because we've come out with updates on a fairly frequent basis for the Explorer and the tool plugins, is we need to know the version of the Explorer that you or the user that's having the problem is using. Basically, and we'll see on the next slide, when you go into the Help About, you'll be able to click on About the Explorer, and it'll show you the version you're running. We'll also look at how you can obtain the version for any of the KIX tool plugins. So let's go to slide 6. The next thing we need to know in the problem record is any of the related software that you might be using. So if you're using the KIX Explorer, you're going to be connecting to a CICS transaction server on the back end. So is it transaction server 4.1? Is it a KIX Plex related region or is it standalone? The version you're running, if you're using the data interface because it's pre-version 4, the level of the ZOS operating system. Now, as far as the Explorer itself, what level the platform is. So if it's Windows, is it XP Pro, or is it Vista, if it's a Linux platform, Red Hat, whatever level you're running. If you're using one of the tools plugins, like the Interdependency Analyzer or the Performance Analyzer, you might be connecting to a DB2 database, either on the host or on the workstation. So let us know what level of DB2 that is, and if it's a compatibility or new function mode. Lastly, if it is involving one of the CICS tools on the host side, what level of the tool? So Configuration Manager, Interdependency Analyzer, Performance Analyzer, version and level. Let's advance to slide 7. So how can you check the version of the Explorer you're running? In this graphic here, you see over on the far right of your menu options, you've got Help. And if you click on that and go down to the drop-down, one up from the bottom, it'll say About IBM KIX Explorer. And if you click on that, let's go to slide 8, you'll see this pop up, and it'll show you right under IBM KIX Explorer In this case, it says where I've highlighted it, version 1.0.02 in the build ID. If you right-click on that highlighted string, you can copy that, and you would be able to paste that into the email or into the ETR screen that you're trying to open. Another thing I wanted to point out here is that if you have one or more of the CICS tools plugins installed, you'll see a little icon below. So in these boxes here, I just wrote above them what they are. You see on the far left, I put IA for the interdependent analyzer, and it's got a little figure with the relationships. Then configuration manager has got some little disks for configuration. Then the Explorer itself, which is the core UI. And then the performance analyzer plugin's got a little bar chart. So in this case, if I were to click on the second box for the configuration manager, let's go to slide 9, please. It would bring up and you would see the feature name says Kick CM UI plugin, and we could get the version out of there. What you can do here, though, is you have to screen print this. If you were to try to right-click it, this copy won't copy that level out. But that's how you would get the particular level of that plugin. Let's advance to slide 10, please. The other thing you can do, if you want to just get us all the information about what's installed on your particular Explorer, is from the help, and then at the bottom, software updates, dot, dot, dot. So if we click on that and advance to slide 11, you'll see this pop up, and if you click on the Installed Software tab up in the upper left, it'll give you a list of what you've installed onto the workstation. You can print screen this off. That way we would see the version of any and all pieces and plugins you've got installed. Let's go on to slide 12. And this is probably one of the next two slides are probably the most important ones to us as far as the efficiency in either recreating or solving your problem, as to what do you need to put in the problem record when you first open it to us. So right off the bat, tell us what you were doing when the failure occurred. So if that is that you were on a particular tab, let's say you were looking at an Atom service, if you were trying to perform a right-click menu action, give us the detail of what it was. Tell us the name of the resource that you were working on. The next thing we want to know is, has this been working and just started to fail? If it did previously work, when did it start to fail? Were there any changes made to either the client software or the host software, maintenance upgrades? Does the problem occur on any connection? So if you are connected to one in test or production, does it fail on all of them in the same thing, or is it only in a specific environment? And if that, let us know what that is. Is it happening for all users or only certain users? And if there is, what's unique about that user environment? If you could tell us, that will help. Another thing that's very helpful, sometimes is not in the problem record, is tell us the specific time of day when the failure occurred. As you'll see later on, when we're going through the logs and the traces, they can be very large, and if you could tell us the time that it occurred, it'll help us focus on that particular exception. Let's go to slide 13, please. The next thing we'd like to know is how are you invoking the Explorer? Are you running it from a remote file? Are you using a shortcut to get to it, opening it directly off your desktop? Because that may play a role into how we were accessing the workspace involved. Again, as many details as you can tell us about what you were doing at the time. If it's a specific navigation sequence that's several steps, tell us that specific sequence and identify the names of the resources that you were working with. Always, if you think taking screenshots will help show the error in case it's like an incorrect output, like if it's a translation problem with a dollar sign character or something else that it's easier to just show us a picture, go ahead and clip that off. You can paste it into a Word document or something else and include that as an attachment. Lastly, if you go into the help about, there's a set of configuration details, and you can copy that out, and you can also view the error log. We'll look at both of those a little bit later in the presentation. And these are just things, if you are not going to be collecting the full set of diagnostics, this will give us information about your workstation, any errors that have occurred, and we might be able to make a lot of progress just with the exception trace and error log alone. So let's go on to slide 14. And now we'll talk about what we need to ensure we can be as efficient as possible in solving the problem. So on to slide 15. If you have a problem with Explorer and you can't solve it yourself, and a lot of times you can, either using the dynamic help, you can look up the CNX messages, which are you get yourself within the Explorer. You can look at the error logs, and you might be able to determine what the problem is yourself if it's you know, a simple connection issue. But if you can't and you have to report the problem, this is what we'd like to know. So let's move on to the next slide, please. So how do I capture the trace data? First of all, one of the nice features of a Kix Explorer is that there is a trace that's running all the time. It goes through any of the classes and methods that are being called, and it's capturing information about what's going on. We can often go through that trace, and we can figure out what particular views you were going into, or if you were in an editor session, and maybe able to walk right up to it. But that can take us some time, but it does have the information there for us. So typically what you'll do is if you have encountered a problem and you want to report that to us, is you go up to the upper left where it says Explore in the figure, and then after the sign-off, you see Trace. And it's got the right arrow. And if you go navigate over to there, you have two options. One is Collect Service Data, the other is Flush. I would recommend you flush the current trace buffers out, and they'll write those out. And then if we go on to slide 17, you go back in and you would say Explore, Trace, and then click on the Collect Service Data. And what that will do is you'll see a change in the progress bar in the lower right, and you'll see a pop-up box showing that it's collecting the data. And what that does is it's going to take a Java core dump, it's going to collect something called a workspace, which we'll talk about a little bit later, the error logs, the trace, and some configuration data about your environment, and package that up for us so that it's in one convenient package that we can go ahead and take a look at when you send it. Number two here is after you've done that and you've collected the data, you'll get a pop-up asking you where you want to save it. Let's go on to slide 18. And in there, the name will be pre-filled. So like in this example, it's the name of the collected service data is Kix Explorer Service Data. And it's got the date in Julian format and the time in .zip. This is on a Windows platform. I would recommend you keep that date. That's helpful for us and you, but you can certainly change it if you like. You also have the ability to choose which folder you want to save it in. And I would make sure you choose a consistent place for that, but whatever is convenient for your environment. Let's go to slide 19, please. If you want to just view the error log yourself, so this is where you want to try to get more information, maybe to do a search out on our forum or out on our website, you can go and from the top menu bar, right before the help is window. And if you click on the window, then you have an option to show view. And if you've been there before, one of the options will show you is error log. And if you click on that, it would open the error log window. And when you get there, you can decide if you want to open it into a browser or something else to look at it, or just look at it right within the Explorer itself. Let's go on to slide 20. So another way, if you haven't been there yet, is you can click on Window, Show View, and then you usually have an Other, dot, dot, dot. And if you click on Other, let's go on to slide 21, then you would get this pop-up. And under the General tab, if you open the expand the plus sign under General, you would see one of the things in there is the error log, and you can click on that, and it'll go ahead and open up in the Explorer, and you could look at the details and move through them yourself. Another one of the things that's in here is the progress bar. And sometimes I just tend to run with the progress bar opened up in my own perspective. In case something doesn't complete, I can have the progress bar always up as an open tab on the environment. So let's now go on to slide 22, please. So when you open the error log. So right here what I've done is I had double-clicked on the error log tab and maximized it. You'll see all the messages in there. And this particular one, I highlighted the unhandled event loop exception because I wasn't sure what that is. And if you right-click on any of those, you have some choices. You can copy it if you want to just copy that particular thing out to paste this later. You can clear the log, which I wouldn't recommend doing unless we ask you to do so. Same with delete. You can open the log. You can restore it. You can export the entire log. You can import it. But really down at the bottom, you can look at the event details. So let's go on to slide 23, please. And if you click on the event details, you're going to get a pop-up like this that will show you the date, the severity of the particular error, the message which you can, you know, copy out of there and search on the forum and the website to see if it's something that we know about. You see, too, over on the far right, some up and down arrows. You can navigate through the error log details as well. So if this exception was preceded by another one that might be closer to what the error was, you can move up and down and it will show you what it is. You also see if there's an associated exception stack trace, what that is below also, and that might give you information you can search on or just put into the problem record if you're not going to send the full service data to us. Down at the bottom is the session data, and that's very good for us because it shows the JRE level that you're running, but also it just helps us isolate it to a particular time frame because there's one of these session traces in the log for each time you come into the Explorer, and it bounds which session we're in at a particular point in time. Let's go on to slide 24, please. So as I mentioned earlier, the other thing, if you aren't going to send all the service data, is from the help about, when you get it there, one of the boxes is configuration details. If you were to click on the configuration details, go on to slide 25, please, you'll get a box like this. And you have two boxes down at the bottom. One is view error log, and the other is copy to clipboard. So you can copy the configuration data out that you could send to us, and that'll tell us about the JRE options you've got, how you started, where the workspace is, where we read information from, the classes that have been loaded, the versions of the software. Wealth of information is included when you capture this data here. And the other thing you can do is you can just click on the view error log, and you'll get a pop-up, and you can open it, you know, with a notepad or any other text view you'd like. Let's move to slide 26, please. Now, I'll preface this that this is something that rarely occurs, but can, is what if the Explorer won't start at all, or if it becomes unresponsive after it does start? So typically, if it doesn't start, it's something like you will go ahead and launch it, and you'll see an hourglass. You might see a brief flash screen, and then it disappears. So in that particular case, you're not able to go in to view the error log from the Explorer itself because it's not started. The same would occur if it came up. You know, on Windows, sometimes you'll see it'll say not responding up in the top masthead, in which case you can't navigate to explore and trace and capture the service data. Typically, in those situations, when it won't start up, sometimes that could be part of your workspace, and again, we'll look at that in the next few slides. If a file in there became corrupted somehow. That could be that it was edited and saved incorrectly, compressed somehow, moved in some way, and we just can't start up because we read information out of that workspace. If it becomes non-responsive, the most common reason I've seen is that it's a memory problem. Something is either filled up the heap in the JVM that we're running with, et cetera. We might need to see a dump of that in order to determine what the problem is. So let's go on to slide 27, please. So where is this workspace thing that keeps information about the session that you're running with the Explorer? On a Windows platform, typically, you know, in the C drive documents and setting, the username, so if you took the default under administrator or whoever that is, and then the next part in the path is the .kicks Explorer. So that's where it'll be on Windows. On a Linux platform, whatever the home directory path is, the username, and also .kicks Explorer. Now let's go on to slide 28, please. The other place you can find it is in the setup for the Explorer, is if you are letting users share it or you just want to keep the workspace someplace else that's maybe not on that particular machine, you can create a shortcut and tell us where it is. You can start it from a command prompt with the dash data option and tell us the path of where the workspace is going to be. And in that particular case, you'll have to know to collect that data and stick it into an archive yourself. So if the Explorer didn't start up or became unresponsive and you need to get us that data, we're going to need that workspace because it's not collected automatically if you can't get into the Explorer itself. Let's go to slide 29, please. The other thing that's in the workspace path is after you get to the .kick Explorer, there'll be .metadata and then a .log. So that's where the log will be if you didn't have it up. So you go ahead and pull that out, stick it into an archive. Let's go into slide 30, please. The other thing is if there is trace, if it got to the point where it did record information out there, that's also in the .metadata. And then when you get in there, the file names are .kicksexplorer.trace, and then some number 0 through 9.log. 0 is going to be the most current trace, up to 9, depending on how long you've had the Explorer up. Each of those files is a meg in size. Basically, at a minimum, we would probably need the 0 file if something just came up and crashed, because that's where the data would be. Let's move on to slide 31, please. Normally, if you want to collect this information, is when you go in to the top left and do explore, trace, collect service data, we capture that information from the workspace. But again, if you can't get it to start or something else to collect it, you're going to have to go out on the previous slides and capture the information and zip it for Windows or put it into a tar file if you're on Linux. What it will not include is, you remember before, we clicked on Help About Kicks Explorer and then clicked on Configuration Details and copied the clipboard. We won't have that information if it didn't start up. What you can do on Windows is you can go into typically, you know, Start, Program Files, Accessories, and then System, Tools, and in there will usually be an option to look at the system information on Windows, which will let you export the software configuration, which will show us the level of the platform and software environment. Go to slide 32, please. One thing you may want to do, and I believe this is also mentioned in the Red Book that's listed at the references at the end of this, is if you tend to save your user IDs and passwords for your connections from the Explorer, they're going to be in an encrypted format in the .metadata, .plugins, com.ibm, .kicks, .eclipse, .common, com.ibm, .kicks, .core, .ui, secure underbar storage. If you don't want to send it that particular file, you can leave that out, but you can send it if you like, if it's related to the connection or the user ID. Let's move on to slide 33. So we had mentioned before is what if it's unresponsive? A nice thing for us to do is to go ahead and look at the threads for the process running in the JVM so we can go see if it's related to a lot of objects sitting, you know, if there's a big array of objects sitting on the stack that we haven't freed up yet or something else, or if it's just blocked on another resource, a dump would be helpful. And we'll look at later on how to collect a dump. And at that time, we'll also just say it's a good thing to practice, just so that when you have a problem, if it's something that you may not be able to easily recreate, it's nice to have the dump tool installed on your workstation, and it's nice to have already tried to take a dump so you're familiar with how to do it should you ever have an unresponsive Explorer. So let's move to slide 34, please. This is where you want to send the data with the problem record, and the link below is to a tech note on exchanging diagnostic information with IBM technical support. It'll tell you in there how to send it to ECU rep, and for the stuff for the Explorer itself, and for the stuff from the workstation, it's probably easiest to send that as an email attachment in the problem record, because we're going to open that particular zip file on our workstations to go examine it. Let's go to slide 35, please. Now, just a summary of what we talked about, so slide 36. And I want to just emphasize here, you may never experience any problems at all with the Explorer. Certainly, there's people that come up, they get in, they connect, they get all the data they want, they haven't seen an exception or had a problem yet. But if you do, make sure you check the IBM software support sites. You can Google, you can go out to the forum for the Explorer and search them. There's some must-gathers that are listed at the end here that will tell you what to do for an incorrect output or a hang problem with the Explorer. The other thing I would emphasize, because it's efficient, is make sure if you don't have the automatic updates chosen in your help about software updates, that you go ahead and apply the latest fixes. And you can either get them through the Eclipse Update site or you can get them from IBM Fix Central. But if you've got the latest updates for the Explorer and any of the Kix Tools plugins and you still have a problem, that'll help us fix it quicker as well. Again, provide as much detail as you possibly can when opening a problem or a question. I would always say the more information, the better. Go ahead and gather the, if the Explorer is responding, the Explorer trace, flush, and collect the service data, and hopefully we'll be able to solve the problem quickly for you. Move on to slide 37. And in the time we have left here, we can just take a look briefly. We may not look at all these if we don't have enough time, but these are just some other diagnostic resources that you may be directed to use by IBM support or that you may choose to use yourself. Let's go to slide 38, please. So one of the things you can try is some shortcuts. And there's also a document that lists most of the Explorer shortcuts that are available on the Eclipse platform at the end of this. But Control key plus 3 will bring up a little box, and if you type in error log, it'll just be able to bring you right to the error log. Another one is just Alt plus Shift plus Q, and that'll give you just a list of views that you can go click on quickly. And there's many more that are listed in a separate document at the end of this is referenced. So let's look at slide 39, please. Here again is just once you were to go in and get the error log, if you, like in this particular one, I've got the java.net.connection exception, connection refused, chosen, then you can just click on open log. Let's go to slide 40. And it would go ahead and it would open up the log. Another thing you might be asked to do, and these particular options are also documented in the Red Book, which is out on the form as draft, and also a link to it at the end of this, is there's a file you can create in the Kix Explorer folder, so where you're running the Explorer from. If you create a file called .options, and inside it, let's go to slide 41, there's some tracing options that we could ask you to add in if there's a particular area of Explorer that we're interested in getting more detailed tracing on, more granular tracing. So basically, you would not set these unless you were asked to by us so we could get detail on a particular failure. Slide 42 will show you the remainder of those options. But if this file is created, setting it to true or false will determine whether or not when we're running our debug logger methods, whether we'll pick it up and trace. So let's go to slide 42. These are the remainders, and then on to slide 43. So how will it go ahead and read these? If you are using the .options file and you open a .dot command prompt window and start the kixexplorer.exe with the dash debug option, we'll be able to go ahead and process the options file. You could put the same thing on a shortcut when you go ahead and put the path in there for it. The other option is to edit the Kix Explorer, and it usually doesn't say unless you have the details, but the .ini file, which is in the Kix Explorer folder where you installed. And there's a note there. Again, be very careful with the .ini file. You might want to make a copy of it so you don't corrupt it. Otherwise, you may not be able to even start the Explorer. Go on to slide 44, please. How do you take a dump if it hangs up? Let's go on to slide 45. There's a link here, and this is where I would recommend if you don't already have this installed, is you go out to the, for Windows, go out to the Microsoft link there to that knowledge base, for that item 24215, and you can download the user dump tool. Let's go to slide 46. And what this is, the reason you would do this is it is typically most people, including myself, don't run the Kix Explorer from a DOS command prompt where you can have that little black box sitting up and see what's going on. You typically are running it from your desktop or from a folder or remote system. You don't have a command prompt to work with. And sometimes you can't recreate whatever caused you to hang up because you restart it or you kill it and you run it again later and now it doesn't hang. So you download this user dump tool. And once you install it, if the Explorer is up and running, go go ahead and you can navigate to where you installed it, type in userdump-p, and that'll give you a process list of what's running on your Windows platform. You'll see a row that'll say kickexplorer.exe, and that'll give you the particular process number you want to work with. Let's go to slide 47. So in this particular case, I had a lot of processes running. It's down at the bottom, so this particular one, process ID 6948 was running the kickexplorer.exe. I do want to mention, if you are running multiple kickexplorers on your workstation, we'll see in a minute, hopefully you can just get into the task manager and say go to process and pick a particular one. Hopefully when you switch to that process, you'll see which one is hung up that you want to get the dump of to obtain the process ID that way. Let's go on to slide 48. So here is that example. If I'm in the task manager from Windows, down at the bottom is go to process, and you see in the middle there I had highlighted IBM kickexplorer. If you had another one up, you could pick them both, and when you went to it, it would tell you the particular process number. Go to slide 49, please. Here's an example of what that would look like. So in this case, kickexplorer.exe shows up, and that's the process ID with 6948. Now let's go to slide 50. So once we have the particular process ID associated with a non-responsive explorer, you need to dump it. So in this example here, I've issued the user dump, which is the tool. The minus W option, which is to get that particular window, the process ID, 6948, and then where do I want the dump to go? So in this case, I just said I want to put it in my C:temp folder, and I called it explorer.dmp. You can really call it what you like. There's not a requirement, but picking a name that's meaningful to you is probably helpful. So we go to slide 51, please. This is just showing you some of the messages you'll see. Because I would recommend doing this ahead of time, practice it. You'll see at the end that the process was dumped successfully. So now we know we have captured the dump that way. So now the next thing you want to do is you want to navigate to the folder where you ran the Explorer from. And that's so that we pick up the right JRE and paths for the environment we're running in. So in this case, mine is in Documents and Settings, Username. I had a folder I created called My Explorers because I have multiple ones, Kix Explorer, JRE, and Bin. Let's go to slide 52. And this is what the next part we need you to do on your machine so that we can process this particular user dump. There's a thing called JExtract, which is just a Java extract, and you issue that .exe command, and you point to where the dump was that you took with the user dump. On my machine, you know, it could take up to about 2 minutes. And let's go to slide 53 so you can see what you'll see while it's doing the extract. As it'll go through, it'll tell you how many microseconds it was doing as it's capturing information. So like you see, it's extracting classes and class loaders, different monitors and threads. And it's going to build the stuff up, and one of the things it's going to do is create an XML file that describes the extraction that it's taken, and then it'll zip it into an archive, and that's the archive that we need for you to send us. And what we can do then is we have various tools in the IBM Support Assistant where we can go ahead and analyze the heap stack, the monitors inside that dump, if it's in this format. Now let's go on to slide 54, please. You can read about the JExtract tool, the link that's included here. You would go ahead and take that particular zip file and add it to anything else that you had to collect, which would be the workspace information, the configuration files, the error logs that you collected manually, etc. Again, this is only if the Explorer is not responding. You know, typically you would have all the information when you collected the service data itself from a responding Explorer. Let's go on to slide 55. If you have a problem, let's say you did not have the user dump installed and that the particular unresponsive situation is recreatable, so you can start up again, navigate to what you were doing, and it stops responding. If you start it from a command prompt, what you can do in that particular window is if you do control break, those two keys will produce a Java core dump that will be taken, and there's an example under number 3 there of what the name will be. So it'll say Java core dot, and then you'll get your date time dot text, and you can send that to us as is. But let's go on to slide 56. If you are on a Linux platform and you needed to get that process ID, you would just issue the process status command, dash EF option. That vertical bar is just tells it to pipe it into grep, which is a search tool, and go search for a process with the name Kix Explorer, and that would return that particular row with the process ID. And then you could do a kill command with the dash quit option and that particular process ID, and it'll produce a file called Java Core with the datetime dot something in the middle in the text. And that would be what you would send with us along with the workspace data. Go on to slide 57. This is some maintenance that I would recommend if you don't already have it installed. Go ahead and apply these PTFs to your Kix environment. They improve the client management interface diagnostics. They improve the tracing in the Kix 4.1 server environment and the dump formatting if we have to take a dump of the Kix region. The second bullet involves some PTFs that were added to provide the default warning count. This is your type of server protection environment. If you're familiar with the web user interface, you can set up for users or in the GUI params a default warning count so that when a pop-up occurs, you set it to 1,000, it would tell you you've hit the warning limit and you can now put in different criteria or change the scope so you get less data. And this is so that we don't cause all your CICS in a Kixplex to extract so much information that it drives you short on auxiliary storage, maybe it takes a long time to respond. If any of you have used the WUI in the past with CPSM, you know that sometimes a terminal program view across the Plex can certainly use up a lot of your auxiliary storage. This default warrant count now makes that capability available if your Explorer is connected to a Kixplex environment. Let's go on to slide 58, please. The next thing we'd want to know, if you had a problem related to the data being returned, maybe it's not responding, it doesn't look right, is if you were to go into CETR on the WUI server itself, and make sure when you press PF4 for the component tracing that all level 1 tracing was turned on, and then we want level 1, level 2 tracing for the following components, for the AP, EI, PG, SO, WB, WU, which is new in 4.1, and XS. What that'll help us with is if there is a problem either with the HTTP buffer coming in, we'll be able to see the XML streams, we'll be able to see if there's a security problem, we'll be able to see the API calls made by the WU component, etc. We also would like the complete web user interface job log, the job logs for all the CMASs that are participating in the management of a particular Kixplex that you are doing, and then the DFH AUXT and BUXT data sets for any of the CMASs in that particular Plex. And that's a lot of data, but CPSM will log exceptions on any of those particular data sets and when it's trying to retrieve the data back. Go to slide 59, please. The other diagnostics that we can get is the actual CPSM API trace. That's what the CNCI will use when it's running in a WUI server. And you log on, you can run COD0 and then issue trace space flags command. Down to number 2, you can set to yes. There's a row called DAT, which is where the CPSM API runs under that component. And then you can turn on columns 15 and 18 to yes after the API tracing. Number 3, you would issue trace on reset. And we'll now start capturing that trace. The trace is written to the local CMASs. That's the CMAS that the WUI server connects to into its A and B data sets. Go to slide 60, please. Another thing, and again, you may want to just practice this in your sandbox or test environment, but it's a nice thing to have done ahead of time before you have a situation. If there's a problem related to missing data, so you know there's data that's in the Sixplex, but you're not seeing it in the Explorer when you go to get it, and you can't figure out why based on the criteria, depending on where you connect from, sometimes you get the data, sometimes you don't. There could be a problem with the actual topology of your Kixplex, in which case the most efficient thing for us is to get a dump of that entire environment with the data spaces, and then we can view the information that's missing, whatever, and see why. So to do that, you would log on to the CMAS that the WUI server connects to, run the COD0 transaction, and then these numbers 1 through 8 below. So you would type in the command start XZ as Z, which is a dumping method for Kixplex. You'll get a warning and hit enter on that warning to go past it. When you get it, you can tab into these component fields. It'll be comp 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and you would just basically enter into those CHE, that gets us our DMDS data space, DAT, which gets us the API data space, TOP, which is the topology of all your TIX resources, COM, which is the communications data space, which shows who the CMAS is communicating with, MAS, which is communications to the local WUI server in any TIX region, and then Q, which is where we keep result sets from whatever you asked it to do. Tab down further on that particular XESD method, and there'll be a field that says bin ASID. You can go to like SDSF and do a display active and get the hexadecimal ASID of the WUI server. And you would put that in there. The next field down, number 4, is the broadcast. And you can specify in there Plex. And what that'll do is it'll tell the CMAS to broadcast this dump request to the other CMASs managing this particular Kixplex. And number 5, if you tab to the context field, you put in the name of your Kixplex. Instead, you have press PF3. At this point in time, you usually get a little bit of an X clock, and it's going to go in there and take an S dump of the local CMAS and its data spaces. It will also send that request out on the CMAS network to the other CMASs so that they can obtain a dump. When it finishes and you press enter, you'll see that in number 7, it'll say start XESD. It'll show the task number it ran under and say completed response OK. And then at number 8, you can type in the exit command to get out of COD0. Let's go to slide 61, please. So if you took one of these dumps on the local CMAS, you'll see an EYU XD0910I message showing that the dump was taken under COD2. And then in any of the remote CMASs that was broadcast to, you'll see the same message, but it's under an XList task. So that's how you know where those dumps were taken and where to collect them from. So let's go to slide 62, please. So what diagnostics can you collect for a system management single server? So now we're talking about when the Kix Explorer, you've chosen to connect to a non-Kixplex SM environment. So this is just a standalone Kix Transaction Server version 4 CICS. In this particular case, you would log on to that CICS, go into CETR under PF4 for the components, normal level 1 tracing for everything, and then the components listed here, which is the same as if it was a WUI server. We'd like the complete Kix Transaction Server job log, and then if necessary, you can go also do a CNC perform snap and get a dump of that particular CICS. That way we could look at any of the storage that's related to a particular request will be in that region's dump itself. Let's go to slide 63, please. The next thing you do is once you have run a request, so let's say you went into the Kix Explorer and you connected to single CICS region, what that does is it will initiate the collection environment in that particular CICS region. You can now run the COD0 transaction in that standalone CICS. And if you issue the trace flags command, then go on number 2, go down to the DAT column, you can turn on levels 15 and 18 tracing, issue a trace on reset, and now the CPSM API commands, which are running locally in that CICS, so there's no CMAS involved, will collect the API flows and they'll write them to the local Kix region's trace data set. And again, you would just do a CMT perform snap to get a dump of that region. Let's go to slide 64, please. Here, this is if you're using the data interface from your Explore connection. So we're talking here about a, most likely it's going to be a Kix transaction server 3.1 or a 3.2 region. And in that case, it's a Kix Plex environment, and you come into the WUI and use the something inside the WUI called the data interface, and that is a read-only environment, so you can inquire on resources, but you can't take actions on them. And in that particular case, you would log on to the WUI server, run the COVC transaction, go into option 7, which is the trace, and then number 4, you would turn on trace flags 15 and 18, and that would turn on the WUI data interface tracing for the collection. Go to slide 65. What tracing can we get for the CPSM API itself? So now we're back into a Kix Plex environment. If there's multiple CMASs that are managing a Kix Plex, the way this works is the WUI server will issue a CPSM API call. That'll go to the local CMAS. At the local CMAS, it'll do something called scope explosion. So if you wanted to look at local files and your context was the Kix Plex, and your Kix Plex is 4 CMASs, the local CMAS will know to direct that log file request to all 4 CMASs, which will go collect the data from those regions, return it to the local CMAS, and then back down to the WUI server, and then back to the Explorer itself. If we wanted to see what was going on in the flow there, you would log on to the CMAS to which the WUI server connects. Number 2, you run COD0, issue the trace flags command. Down in columns, actually in the COM row, which is for communications, set yes for columns 31 and 32. What that does for us is if the problem or something maybe isn't showing up, you're not seeing it, is related to security. COM 31 will show us a security trace. The COM 32 will be any soft errors that came back from communications. Set those two columns to a yes. The DAT column is the API flows. 15 and 18 will get those. And then the KNL column, which is the kernel component, kernel 30, is the single system image. So that will show us the scope explosion and the queues that came back from all the other CMASs. Number 4, you issue a trace on reset to start collecting the trace data. And then number 5 is in the WUI server itself. You saw on the previous slide you run the COVC transaction, go to option 7, and turn on the DAT 15 and 18 tracing. All this trace will wind up in the local WUI CMAS's AUX trace A and B data set. Now let's go to slide 66. And the remainder of these slides are just reference material that is helpful for you if you're working with CICS or the Explorer. Go to slide 67. I've listed here the Kix Explorer site itself, a link to the draft red book, which I would recommend everybody who's using the Explorer go ahead and review that. It's a great book. Another one is a link to the dump tool for Java, which is available in the IBM Support Assistant. That's the tool that we in support would use, that you can use it yourself. It's available to you to process that extracted dump. The next link is just troubleshooting memory leaks Java environment, which is helpful in case you have to increase the size of the there's an option where you can increase the size of your heap and stack within the JVM used by the Explorer. Slide 68. Here's two of the must gathers that are out there. One is for incorrect output with the Explorer, which summarizes the collection, and the other is if it's not responding. If it's not responding or available, does not discuss downloading that user dump tool or using the JExtract. Let's look at slide 69. Here's some additional helpful tech notes. One is where do you find the Explorer messages? They're not currently in the External Information Center. They're in the Explorer itself, and there's a tech note that shows you how to view those. another one on the shortcut keys available, another one on how to enable automatic updates so you pick up the new updates we put out quarterly for the Explorer and the plugins, and then using it with the transaction server. I believe now we go to slide 70. They'll conduct a short poll, turn over for question and answers. Thank you for your time, and hope this was informative.
Thank you, Bill, for a great presentation. At this point, Teresa, we would like to open the line for questions.
I'm sorry, no questions, Ms. Lamb.
Thank you, Teresa. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.